Hi, my name's Ruth Kelly, and today I'm with Neil from down south again, Neil Kurtz. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Mike.
That's all we got time for. Thanks for coming. See ya.
Hey, I want my biscuits first.
Hey, Ruth, I've got some things to say to you, mate.
Have you? Wait till Jim's finished his whiskey. Okay, thanks for coming. You've gone and blown it now. Everyone's coming in before I've introduced you. Well, if you haven't guessed, we've got Jim as well back again from the north. Jim Gillespie, hello there. Thanks for that, Jim. I'm from the Linda.
A glass of water there, sorry.
Oh, that's what he's telling us. Linda, where are you from, Linda? Excuse my ignorance here.
Peterborough. In Cambridgeshire.
Linda Gray from Gray's Home. Am I correct in saying that? Gray's Home.
Yes, Gray's Homes, Gray's the estate agent.
Another estate agent, oh my God. Surrounded by them. Well, Linda, as you're new to the podcast, so to speak, just give us a few words on because you played quite a dominant role in corralling everybody into moving forward and taking action as etc. So tell us a little bit about your little institute there.
Yeah, it started off last time on the 18th of July announcement with the HCR being made voluntary. I got on the day of the latest announcement, I can't remember the date, but obviously the U-turn on the marketing date for HIPS, I got quite a few calls saying, will you resurrect the group? And so that's what I did. We're really just a collecting point for everyone to register. Numbers make a difference. It's proved that. We got to the government within a week of the announcement, and now we've got our meeting with Ruth Kelly. But once you're speaking for, 1,500 people, and hopefully I'm really pressurising to get 2,000 by Monday, then you develop a much louder voice, and that's the whole point of it. It's just making ourselves heard.
Who can... hopefully this will get to a few other people that are not aware of the forum and what's been going on over the internet. How can people get involved, Linda?
Very simply, they just need to email me, which is Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at Gray's Homes, G-R-A-Y-S-H-O-M-E-S.com, and then I'll take it from there.
So everybody who's not already involved, we urge you to get on board over the weekend and just make that extra step. It's only cost you an email. Get on board so that Linda can speak for you, and you can't complain that your voice is not being heard at the highest level, because as we all should know by now, it's been reported in The Guardian even now, I believe, you're all marching down to the Department of Communities and Local Government to see the lady herself, Ruth Kelly, on Monday, which we'll talk about later. I just wanted to say, Neil, you're a keen cyclist, are you? Taking part in the naked cycling today?
I have, actually. Yeah, I just got back.
Have you? I thought I saw you on telly. We'll say no more. can I just say, this week has been last night I started to write a post on the blog, just trying to give a short list of all these online petitions and registrations that are going on. It's getting crazy. And I noticed that today that you've tried to as well, Neil. Well, I don't even think you've got it. You've even covered it all. But I'll just say to people, if you fancy it and you're getting tired of repetitively putting in your details again and again in the various and numerous online petitions and votings and surveys and polls, there is a program called RoboForm, which I believe is available from RoboForm.com. That's RoboForm.com. It used to be free, but I've got a feeling now it might not be. But it's a very handy program if you need to. You just put your details in once, go to a website, and every time you need to input your details, you just click a button and it's all filled in. Or there is a browser I use personally. It's called Maxthon, which I've put on the site. M-A-X-T-H-O-N. That's at maxthon.com. It's a free browser. It's one of the best out there, in my opinion. And it has a form filler built into the browser, as well as an RSS feeder. for catching up on the blogs. Anyway, I just thought I'd drop that in because it's getting ridiculous in my view. But necessary as well, it's the game we have to play. Let's go over the news then this week. I believe I just wanted to cover this because I think it's important. What are your feelings on this, this Lynn Crozier? I don't think she's the first person to have brought this up, but Lynn Crozier has brought up a rather disturbing, potentially disturbing encounter she had this week when she did an exam and the server crashed for 35 minutes during the exam, and she claims that she's perhaps failed the exam as a result of this by just by a short 1%. And that was for the National Association of State Agents. This is not right, is it, gents and ladies? What are your thoughts on this, Neil?
Free retake, Mike. No messing around. If the exam board can't get their systems right, there's no reason why you should actually have to pay a second time for a retake. I mean, I think it's a hard one to call because you're sat there having spent your own money, but... you know, if you were brave enough, you'd go, right, there's a problem, thanks very much, and walk out and say, look, I turned up, I was ready to sit the exam, computers have crashed, that's out of my control. And, yeah, it's a hard one.
Well and good, but apparently the adjudicator wasn't sitting with her.
I don't think that's a great shot, Mike. I think a number of these exam centres are based maybe on these sort of Pittman training centres, and... I think they cover a wide range of exams in different subjects, so I think it's I'm sure they're not run with a sufficient number of staff to cover every exam going on at every point in time, which is why of course a lot of them are computer based to start with.
Linda, how do you feel about this?
Well, I didn't know anything about it. I'm assuming if it's a server based problem, it wasn't just one individual that was affected.
No,
it must have been. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just saying, I can only assume it must have been more than one individual. I'm not sure how you take these exams. I did explain to you earlier, I'm probably the only one of the whole thing that isn't a home inspector or a DEA, so on some of the technical side, I'm a bit lapsed. But I would have thought that it's going to affect more than one person, and surely then they would have to come up with a solution to the problem.
Well, don't feel alone,
in the
Linda.
First instance.
Don't feel alone. I'm also in the same boat, so don't worry. And Jim, I
wasn't aware of this particular one, but it's not the first time that this has happened. I've had some colleagues who have had similar experiences with their home inspector exam. So in fairness, it's not just the domestic energy assessors. I think it leads to a wider question, in my opinion, about the whole... sorry, let me get rid of this mobile. It's the whole question of the calibre of these exams. I think the whole industry now, the whole HIP industry, is being tarred with this brush that everything's a shambles, everything's being drawn up in the back of a fag packet. Largely, I've got to say, because of the government leaving everything so late and then training providers having to concoct and cobble up these... training courses and exams and everything very quickly. It's a real concern to me that if we're going to be viewed as a profession, then everything needs to be handled in a professional manner. And if we can't even get the basics, like turning up to an exam and being given the allocated time to do the exam, if we can't even cross that first hurdle, then it doesn't bode very well for the future.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I don't... In an exam situation, I wouldn't have thought there would be a tremendous pressure on the servers. I wouldn't. It's not like, you know, you're the BBC and you've got thousands upon thousands of people per minute hitting the site. It's an exam. It's a controlled environment. It's timed. I don't understand. I mean, like you say, this isn't the first person. There was a couple of others, I believe, who came in after and said similar stories, and I know there has been before that as well. It's just not right, is it? It's not acceptable, really, especially given that it's the person's future that spent all this money on top of all that's gone on anyway in the industry. So get your act together. And it does beget the question, how is the software going to play out, exams aside, in the field of play on the day that it's launched? How is all the software going to perform when the servers are being pressured? Anyone got any thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, I can only say we had a dry run in our estate agency with free home information packs for 6 weeks before the leading up to the 1st of June, and I had obviously some of my home inspectors carrying out the EPCs, and they had tremendous job in logging them in some instances and just getting the addresses in to be identified and things like that. So, I mean, we were looking at it as a good, it was very good training time for us, but I just hope by the time it's properly launched, they have got their act together on that.
Yeah, could I just jump in at that point, please,
go on,
Mike?
Jim. Yeah, sure.
One of the, I mean, I've got some grave concerns in several areas of this whole HIP shambles now, to be blunt. One of my concerns is that the government are now saying that they're not going to be releasing the outcome of these dry runs until sometime in the autumn. Now, how on earth can you expect to launch the HIP in its entirety? It was supposed to be 1st of June. Now they've done another U-turn and pushed it back to the 1st of August. But how on earth can they expect to do that when nobody knows the outcome of these dry runs? And these dry runs have been going on since November last year.
Surely the bigger concern is, Jim, is why they're holding back the information.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, are they trying to hide something? Are the results so bad that if they were known now, the whole HIP thing would be shelved altogether? I mean, it just seems absolute lunacy to me that they just don't seem to be doing anything positive to try and reinforce that HIPs are a good thing. Everything they seem to touch, it just becomes an absolute shambles.
I agree. I can't argue against that, Neil.
Yeah, I think we just have to ignore the dry run completely, sadly. I think we've mentioned on the last podcast the project management has been absolute garbage up to date, and I'd be surprised if it suddenly dramatically improves. So I think it's safe to assume that as far as the dry run results are concerned, they never will be made public, I don't believe, in the fullest sense of the word. If we get any results through, they will come through so late in the day as to be of no consequence to anyone. I think those people who have kind of kept their ears to the ground know a lot of the results in terms of some of the numbers. It's slightly frustrating that CLG have discussed some of the numbers in various meetings, but simply aren't prepared to make any of this public. And what's said in a meeting, unless it's in the public domain, it's of no good to anyone, particularly, you know, your normal DEA or HI who is desperate to try and earn some money out of this shambles, and everyone's a bit concerned. So I think my view is ignore the dry runs completely. The time has passed beyond which the results would have made any impact as to the rollout plan.
All of these dry runs are held just to basically, obviously, to get a feel of the public. The public's acceptance of this, but also to iron out and to smooth out any operational problems.
Well, that's it exactly, Mike. I mean, your latter point is exactly right. I mean, the whole purpose to me of having a dry run is to make sure that all the gremlins and all the glitches are sorted before you actually hit the go button and actually go live with these HIPs. I mean, clearly that isn't going to happen. So again, what my frustration is that all the ineptitudes, all these missed opportunities with the government, it's just playing into the likes of Splinter's hands. It's almost as if the government themselves don't want the HIPs to succeed now.
Don't say that, Jim.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but from all the evidence that we see, it just seems that they're not actually doing anything diligently to get the HIPs out there and to get the public acceptance of them.
No, go ahead, Linda.
I was going to say they've allowed the media to ride roughshod over this, that they've got a very big PR machine. I know that because they've rung us loads of times to speak to my home inspectors and things like that and vendors. But they've allowed the media to actually to publish absolute downright lies about the whole thing. And I have not seen anything from them to combat it. We've been called, our DEAs and home inspectors have been called at the worst burglars and at the best opportunists, opportunist spivs, I think was the expression. They really need to be doing something. These people have got to go into people's homes, and the public conception there must be, well, slightly below motor dealers and even worse than estate agents, I should think, at the moment.
Surely not that bad, Linda.
No, you're
but
right.
What I'm saying is they've virtually recruited these people. They're the one that lured them into this game. They really need to be backing them up and building their image back up for them.
I think we keep coming back to the same point, in my mind at least, that this is all a result of the rushed way it's been done. You know, this basically only kicked off in March, didn't it? And it's just been totally laid out without any preparation, without any feedback from the dry runs, and the machine has not been in place as we know. And we're hearing stories like people can't pass their exams because of servers crashing, some software's not even right, the HIT providers can't and are unable seemingly to come out with contracts and terms and conditions and prices, and they're going under, which was the next point I wanted to raise, really swiftly moving on. PJB 2022C, that is one hell of a username, came onto the forum and has just announced yesterday, I think he said, with Vibrant Energy have been laying off domestic energy assessors. And that comes after the news, of course, with the bombshell we've had this week of energyassessors.com sacking 100 people and basically transferring their business over to propertycareers.com, who, to my mind, was an unknown player up until this announcement. Can I have your thoughts on that, ladies and gentlemen, starting with Jim?
I suppose it was inevitable that there's going to be casualties. Looking at the bigger picture, I think even if the HIP had launched on time and it had been full implementation, I think within the first 12 months, a lot of PAC providers would either have gone to the wall or have merge with others, because there were just too many players jumping on this bandwagon. I think that it's quite inevitable that if the government not only push it back, but then announce they're going to phase the HIP implementation, that several players are going to say, right, enough's enough. I mean, if we cast our mind back to last year, a lot of people were very surprised at Rightmove when they pulled out back in July. But to be honest, Mike, in hindsight, they did the right thing. They looked, they've got to protect their shareholders' interest. They'd spent millions of pounds even at that early stage, and they decided enough was enough. And I'm sure that looking at the shambles that we're in today, the board of directors at Rightmove are sort of patting themselves on the back, saying we made exactly the right decision.
Agreed. Well, they pulled out 20 million, didn't they?
I'm not sure the exact figure, but it was certainly, they'd certainly spent several million so far, but yeah, they were projected to spend well in excess of 20 million overall, but they made the decision to cut their losses. And I think really that's what's happening now. A lot of companies have been putting their faith, trust and confidence in the government, have been let down yet again, and said, you know, enough's enough. I mean, you can't keep going on living on fresh air, Mike.
No. So, Linda, have you got any thoughts on this?
Well, just to say, David Thompson, who is one of the bodies coming with us to the Ruth Kelly meeting, has actually now signed on the dole. He has no source of income other than that. But one almost has to see him as one of the lucky ones, because so many of the people that have emailed me, because they voluntarily gave their job up to start on June the 1st, can't even do that. I think this is something seriously the government has to look at on just how to help these people through this interim period. Rather than subsidise housing associations to do EPCs, which we know is never going to happen in time, I think the money should be channelled into that worthy cause.
I'll argue with that. And we should just name Dave Thompson and Jackie, because they're also... Jackie Oliver, sorry. We can't have everyone on here, otherwise it would be more bedlam than it already is tonight. But we do tip of the hat to those two individuals who are also crusading the cause. That is bad news then, if Dave is having to sign on. And it is true that It's one of those unique positions where people who have handed in their notice at the beginning of last month to end their former careers to embark on this new one are now basically, what's the word? They put themselves on the dole. They've made themselves unemployed, so they're not eligible for dole.
That's right.
So that is a bind. Neil, let's hear what you've got to say.
No, I think you covered it all, Mike, really.
Oh, right.
It's a desperate... it's a desperately sad situation. I don't think anything dramatic is going to change in the next 6 to 8 weeks. In terms of the statements on social housing, the only thing I can say to that is don't waste my time. I mean, really, we just have to hope that the 1st of August gives us the momentum that we need to actually hold this industry together, because as every day goes by, we're hearing of more and more job losses.
Yeah, let's just have a rundown. I know you started a thread, Jim, a sticky. I don't know how far that's progressed, but so far we've got hipstockco.uk, 30 or 37, depending on who you listen to, staff that have gone. We've got now energyassessors.com, that's 100 back office staff gone. Vibrant Energy, who have they've used the term laid off, but basically it's the same thing, because officially, on paper at least, they're gone, even though they're still there. So that's three, and they're quite large. That's quite a substantial chunk already, really. I know we're talking thousands of DEAs here, but when you look at it in terms of actually accredited DEAs, that's over 10%.
But Mike, yeah, I think it's also the back office. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
The other thing is that there's going to be lots of them regionally up and down the country that we'll never get to hear about. The smaller one or two branch estate agencies that were maybe going to recruit one or two domestic energy assessors and have now decided not to do that, or we're going to in-house train people and have decided not to do it. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to actually count the numbers as to how many companies and individuals have been affected by the announcement last month.
Absolutely. Were you going to say something there, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, pick up on Jim's point. Yeah, I mean, one girl in this town has been sacked by text message, would you believe. She was due to start work as a DEA on the 1st of June. We got the announcement on the 22nd of May. By the end of the day, she'd had a text message in from what was to be her boss. There's no job for you, goodbye. And that was it. But I wanted to come back to the point about the job losses. I mean, I know, and rightly so, we're focusing on the DEA and HI job losses. But actually, you've got to remember the back office staff that are also losing their jobs, because, quite frankly, even if we get the numbers up and we get to 2,000, 2,500 accredited DEAs and HIs, if there are no back office staff or a lack of back office staff in these pack providers who are going to be farming out hundreds of thousands of EPCs, we're going to have massive, massive process problems. Huge. I mean, it'll get to the point where your first week is fine and you do your 16 to 20 appointments if you're lucky. But then in week two, you find that actually you can't lodge the work because there's such a backlog on the servers that they can't clear the work. You know, your diaries become a real mess. You find that nobody's phoned the vendor. You turn up at a house and actually the person had phoned the office sort of 10 days beforehand to say, oh, didn't you know I was going out, and all this kind of nonsense. So, you know, the back office staff have been lost from Open Book and MDA as well. And look, MDA have probably got, well, I'm pretty certain they've got more money than anybody else in this industry. And for a company like that to be laying off staff, that rings alarm bells.
Didn't know that one. And Open Book, you're saying?
Yeah, Open Book, I believe, have let 10 go.
I mean, I'll come back to the estate agent I mentioned last week in our first podcast. He's a rather large concern up here. He took 18 staff down to Milton Keynes, I think it was, to be trained up. I've not spoken to him. I should perhaps get back in touch with him and get an update. But that's 18 times thousands of pounds, times man hours that he has invested into this. I mean, that's... especially, companies would have to probably look to the bank to support them in this as well, because that is a hell of a chunk of money to come out of cash flow. You have to wonder, don't you? I mean, the knock-on effects.
Well, Mark, if I could just say on a personal level to me, I've got three fully qualified and accredited home inspectors. one who's still in training, who has got his DEA certificate and is finishing in September time. But two of those are my sons. One of my sons has three grandchildren. His wife gave her notice then because she's been helping to support him on the 1st of May. So, purely from a personal level, you know, we can see we've got problems.
Yeah. Lynn, I think we've just about caught that, but you're going a bit muffled there.
Sorry, I do that
every
now and then.
That's better.
better.
Yeah, that's a lot better. Okay, well, let's move on from that sad topic to something constructive. Monday is the day.
Yep.
The day when you get approximately, what is it, 5.26 minutes each to speak and get your answers. Of course, we're referring to the delegation that are going down to, I believe you're all cycling naked to the community of local government to meet Ruth Kelly and others. Well, it's all environmentally friendly, isn't it? Neil MacDonald, of course, is now moved on to better things, we hope, we presume. And who else is going? Linda, take us through the cast of characters.
Right, going with us in our party, you've got Jim, who you obviously all know, and Neil, the same. We've got Jackie Oliver, who is a member of IHI. And we've got David Thompson, who's there really because he's a home inspector, he's on the dole, and he's still very passionate about it.
All right, Linda, you're starting to go off a bit there again, love.
Sorry.
I think we've got that, though. So we've got David Thompson, Jackie Oliver, yourself, Jim, and, of course, Neil. And the other parties that are attending, because this was a bit of a shock one, wasn't it?
Yes, we're quite annoyed with this. We've got IMBN, BRE, and, of course, NALI.
IMBM. Who are they?
I think they used to be trainers. I think they ceased training, and I don't think they carry out accreditation. I'm sure Neil or Jim would know more about them than I do.
Go on then, Neil.
Yeah, they were one of the first training providers for HIs, actually. So I know that most of us go back quite a long way, but I think IMBM predate all of us. So I certainly have come across people who took the HI qualification through IMBM. But I think they've not done so much recently. But I guess they probably took one look and thought, do we want to be involved?
They've been quite a low-key player up until this surprise announcement then, haven't they?
Never heard of them.
No, I hadn't. Do you know anything more about them, Jim?
Only that they run some very good training courses for continuous professional development. I've been on one locally in Darlington here where they had a very senior person give us a very interesting lecture on asbestos. And I went to another one where I was sort of learning how bricks were made. So I think as a training institute, they've been around a long time. And in terms of kind of sharpening the saw and getting your CPD certificates, etc., I think they're a useful organisation to join. But in terms of lobbying and being at the forefront with press releases and everything, they're not really there, so I can understand why Linda and other people have not come across them before.
They did tell me. I've spoken to all the other attendees. And when I spoke to IMBM, they did say they ceased training courses after the U-turn last July, simply because of the lack of applicants, so they stopped training at that point.
Right, let me just repeat that, Linda, because you're going off a bit there. Let me just repeat that to see, make sure I've got you right. You're saying that IMBM ceased to train because of the lack, because of the cessation of HCRs.
Yes, mandatory HCRs, yes.
Yeah, and are they now re-entering the market as what? As trainers, as hip providers, as what?
I don't know. I don't know much about them. I wonder why they're invited, but I'm sure there's a good reason.
It must be frustrating because, here they are. They're coming out of the shadow, so to speak, and there they are taking up valuable time, which could otherwise be spent talking over the blooming problems that are going on. Anyway,
I think if we look at the bigger picture here, Mike, I mean, you don't need me to tell you that I'm very cynical about this whole industry now. I think all Ruth Kelly is doing is just ticking a box by agreeing to meet us all. She wants to be seen to be speaking to as many vested interests as possible. Only today we've discovered that she's been holding meetings virtually every day last week with all and sundry who are loosely connected with HIPS in some way, shape or form. So I think all she's really doing is going to pay us lip service next week. I've said for several months now, and there's no reason for me to change this, that the future of HIPS is political. Yes, we can lobby, yes, we can go down and rant at her, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a political decision as to what happens with HIPS, whether they become voluntary. I doubt very much they'll be scrapped altogether, or whether the phased implementation, as they're talking about now. But I honestly think that the future of HIPS is out of our hands now.
Neil?
Yeah, it probably is out of our hands, but I desperately want HIPS to come in. You won't see me changing on that, no matter what the circumstances. It's probably because I come from the viewpoint where I get buyers and sellers who are frustrated with the lack of information they're provided. It's a combination of maybe the dealing with estate agents who maybe aren't as familiar with property or the overall property world as they could be. Plus, we have solicitors who don't necessarily highlight issues with deeds or plots of land or access until literally the day before exchange, at which point a seller or a buyer does feel very pressurised to just agree to things. Whereas if you have the HIP up front, I just see it as first step on a long journey to try and improve the buying and selling process. I guess I'm viewing it with a different hat on there, not purely from a DEA or HI perspective. I mean, look, if you just view from a DEA perspective who's just joined the industry in February, I would completely take the line, you know, what are these HIP things? We don't want them. Get rid of them. We want to get on and do EPCs. And I would not disagree with that point of view.
No, I wouldn't, but I have a couple of my own reservations about EPCs, the actual effectiveness of them, but I'm not going to introduce that into this now. But I do sort of side on Ruth Kelly's judgment that it would add more strength to a HIP if it was included, if they were bunched together. Because I personally feel that the public will resist EPCs more than they will HIPs, if HIPs can have, well, can hold some sway, can actually be demonstrably shown to actually improve the home buying process. And home conditions report, obviously, which have lost now, but they would have met that criteria for me. But HIPs as they stand, unless they're improved, I don't know. But that's why I think that they should be together. Anyway,
I hope you can hear me, because
yeah,
you're breaking
fine
up to me. But I think if you remove the EPC out of the HIP, there is a bigger danger of the EPC being moved away from point of marketing. I think the HIP is a good envelope for the EPC, and I'd be very concerned if it was divorced away from it. But the housing market, I've been in the housing market nearly 30 years, and it desperately needs a shake-up. I'm not saying the present pack is going to solve all the ills, but it is a starting platform, and it's sorely needed. And also, I don't know if everyone realises this, but every estate agent that wants to sell a HIP has to be a member of the Ombudsman scheme. We all have to sign up, I think, the 18th of May. Surely that's got to be a good thing for the industry as well.
Well, it's a good point, that, Linda. I mentioned on the forum a few weeks ago now that perhaps there is perhaps the waters that Ricks are surfing here run a bit deeper than the public agenda, in that they are not actually qualified. They're not actually. They've not actually been rubber stamped to roll out or become part of the Ombudsman scheme, which their members, of course, estate agents and surveyors, have to be a part of if they want to sell HIPs. And I noticed this week. I can't remember the website now. It might be Mortgage Strategy or something like that. Some fella called David somebody or other wrote an article saying that he believes that Ricks are actually trying underhandedly blackmailing the government by this this state that they've executed in order to buy time, I guess, or just to strong arm the Department of Trade and Industry into rubber stamping their entry into the ombudsman scheme. Because without it, Ricks can't sell hips. So, have you heard of this, or what are your feelings on that, gents, ladies?
Well, I know I had one of my members emailed me yesterday. She was quite proactively going around her local agents during this time to see if anyone would use her on the 1st of August. The one she went into was a Ricks agent, was a Ricks member, and he said, you're wasting your time. They are going to be taken away from point of marketing and we will get them at valuation. So that is obviously their agenda. I think the biggest drop-dead issue, this whole thing with Ruth Kelly, is to nail the point of marketing firmly in rather than point of sale, because Ricks are waiting there, hoping desperately that it will go further down the chain, and that's something we've got to work very, very hard to prevent. At our meeting last week with Neil MacDonald, he very firmly said that they believe in the benefits of an EPC. They firmly believe that people can't make a buying decision before they have seen the EPC, and hopefully they will stick by that policy and keep it there at point of marketing. But that is a very worrying issue to us all.
Neil, you're the legal man.
Very good. I think Ricks are completely pissed off with life, actually. I seem to recall, going back probably 8 to 10 weeks now, they missed out being the first accreditation scheme. And they put in a request for, you know, Freedom of Information Act. They put in a request to demand to see the decision-making process because they were a little bit upset that Starver had pit them to it. This Ricks versus government, let's say, heated argument has been going on for a long time now. This is not... The judicial review is about step eight in a very long argument. Phoning up Ricks asking... even as late as February, March, phoning up and saying, will you be running an accreditation scheme for DEAs? We don't know, we haven't made a decision yet. Well, yet they were recommending that their HIs divert onto they were making available the opportunity for their HIs, including myself, to divert onto the DEA course, but weren't prepared to say whether they were going to be an accreditation scheme or not. This Ricks thing's been going on long enough, really. It's about time they were taken to task.
I apologise if some of that didn't come through. I think I managed to grasp that you were breaking up a bit there. Did you manage to hear that, Linda, Jim?
To be honest with you, Mike, all three of you are breaking up. I'm finding it very difficult to understand any of the three of you now.
About that. What can you do? Let's hope we can gel it together. Sorry, were you going to say something there, Linda?
No, I was just saying I was finding it difficult to understand. I got the bones of it, but it is very difficult listening.
Okay. Well, we're sort of coming up towards time now anyway, I guess. Is there anything else you want to add? If you came on here wanting to particularly say something, now's the time to say it. Okay.
All right.
No, go on, Linda. Go on, sorry.
Well, I just wanted to say, I know lots of people think our meeting on Monday is futile. Maybe it is, but all the answers they gave us last week were positive answers. Our job is to get those answers actually out in a statement, because if we could get those answers out in a statement, all the things we asked them, I think everyone would be happy. That's the point. They are saying the right things to us, but they're not actually telling it to the outside world, and that's what we ought to try and achieve on Monday.
Yeah, I would just like to add to that. I don't think that Monday's meeting is futile either. I think Linda's did a fantastic job to get us an audience with Ruth Kelly. I think the problem Ruth Kelly and her department has now is that they've broken any promises that nobody believes what they say. I'm looking at it from a slightly different perspective. As I've said before, I think that the future of hips is out of our hands now. What I'm deeply, deeply concerned about is all the thousands of people who have paid their own money, their own savings, they've trusted the government. First of all, we trained as home inspectors. We were let down last year. But then people signed up in droves as domestic energy assessors. The last thing this government can do is let those people down as well. We need hard and fast assurances that they haven't wasted their time and money, and there is actually a future career in at least energy assessment. That's irrespective of what the fate of HEPS is in future.
Okay. Neil?
Yeah, I mostly share Jim's perspective. I mean, I think Jim is obviously wholly focused on the EPC, and I understand that completely. I also want the HIP in. I'm not prepared to sort of split it in half. I want the whole thing in, and I want the whole thing in for all properties at the earliest opportunity. So I'm not focused on a particular date. I want to know how many accredited individuals we need. And at that point, I want a commitment that whether it be 2,000, 2,500, whatever the number is, I want a commitment that within a certain time frame, we will go live across all properties. And maybe that means we need to get to, for example, 2,000 DEAs, and they agree to go live 3 weeks after that date. That sort of time frame, I believe, is realistic for the whole industry to take on board.
Did I hear you right there, Neil, saying, did you say that you weren't concerned overly too much on the date of launch?
No, because at the moment we've got people saying, well, actually, you know, let's try and get 3-bedroom properties on the 1st of September, and then maybe we have 2-bedroom properties on the 1st of October. And sorry, but that's just a shambles. From an estate agent's perspective, look, they're already going to try and circumvent the 4-bedroom situation. They're just going to do the same again with the 3-bedroom, the same again with the 2-bedroom, unless it's switched over to council tax bans, which sadly I don't believe it will, but although that would provide a logical route forward. I don't want a phased approach. I want 4-bedroom houses in. That allows us to do the process proving, iron out the bugs. It gives some income to some people, and then I want a switch on for go live for all of the rest of the properties. It's dead enough as it is in November, December, without having to, wait and have a deal with a 3-bedroom situation and then a 2-bedroom one. And I can see why a DEA may want a phased approach, because they just need to get the work. But at the same time, the people behind the scenes, like the estate agents, won't exactly be helping them along on this one. And if you take it in the round, you're far better to you get effectively the 4-bedroom plus houses are in fact the dry run for the full rollout. That's what's happened.
But it will turn out to be, yeah. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I think I would rather just it go bang and launch live, but it will stress test the system, that's for sure, given now that people are pulling out and holding back on their investments. But, at the other end of the scale, as you say, we've got November and December are quiet months, and If we're reliant only on 4 beds in August, then I don't see how. I personally feel that the market demands that the less DEAs the better, because the price will fall to nothing. There'll be an oversupply of DEAs.
I think there is an oversupply of DEAs at this point in time, Mike. I mean, The figures are very sketchy, because the training providers are playing their cards close to their chest. But in very, very rough terms, there's got to be somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 people at various stages of training. I mean, I was looking on the forum this morning, and there's some people just starting courses this Monday, would you believe? I find it incredible that with all the uncertainty, that people are still signing up for these training courses. So I think whatever happens to HIPS, there is already an oversupply of people in the system. And that's why I feel very angry that this government needs to give us some gold-plated assurances now that there are some jobs for people at the end of this. I think it's scandalous that they're allowing people to continue to give, you know, £2,000, £3,000, £4,000 over to training providers, training them up for something they might never do.
One of the faults of a free market economy is this week I saw in the local newspaper, HIT, the training provider, just basically a big advert, still pushing these training courses and promising the earth to induce people into these, to part with the cash. And I was just reading it incredulously, thinking, This is trading on the ignorance of the mass public who are coming into this thinking still that there's going to be a large pot of gold and not appreciating the politics that's gone on behind it. And sorry. Okay, I think we'll call it. We'll call that a day now, unless anyone's got any particular addendum to all this. Otherwise, we'll move on to our Pimp My Site. All quiet. Okay, Linda.
Yes.
Pimp My. This is your little platform to pimp your site.
Well, it's just the email, really. I want people to email me. I want to get 2,000 of us speaking to Ruth Kelly on Monday. So, do you want me to repeat the email address?
Why not?
It's Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at Grayshomes, GRAYSHOMES.com. That's all they have to do.
Right, and that will get there, and that will add their voice to your campaign, well, to everybody's campaign.
Yes.
Neil?
Everybody, all of our, we're all in this together, hopefully,
absolutely.
All of us.
Absolutely. Neil, you might as well pick your new site. How's
yeah,
that going, by the way?
I was going to say, I just want to talk about the one website, if that's all right, Mike, because I'll keep it brief. The new website is deahi.co.uk. It's an independent total of the accredited DEAs and HIs that are actually ready to work. So let's strip away the emotion over whether we've got 3,000, 5,000, however many we've got in training. Sadly, that's utterly irrelevant to the government. All they're interested in is number of accredited individuals. What we felt was, sadly, and we don't like to say things like this, but the numbers that have come out from everybody up until this point have been utterly misleading. And frankly, the number of people who passed the exams, which is what CLG seem to be happy to answer with parliamentary questions, that's of no consequence. And I know AHIP were talking about the number of people who are in training. Again, that's no help. What we want to know is how many people are ready to work right now. So we thought, well, we'll do this bottom up. There's a chap called John Copsey and myself. We're asking people to register on the site, and or we simply get the top level details about if they're accredited or not. If they are, we just get their number so we can double check it. And John is doing all the back office work, double checking the numbers, so we haven't got any duplicates and we haven't got any errors. And so far, we've been going 7 days now, and we've got 925 people registered on the site, and 301 are accredited already. So and 236 have applied for accreditation. So we're very, very pleased with that response. We do recognise that we will find it harder to get hold of those individuals who were going to be in employed positions. So really, we're appealing for all independent DEAs and HIs, no matter where they are, to please register with us.
That's a huge response, really, in such a short space of time. Well done on that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And Jim, have you got a site to pimp?
Well, I think that the site that needs the most pimping and best recognition, really, is Ryan Powell's site. It's been very therapeutic for myself, and I'm sure it has for thousands of others. It's the most successful home inspector forum by a million miles, and the web address for that is homeinspectorforum.co.uk. If you're not already registered, please register. It's a wealth of information there. You can get everything off your chest, and the moderators there are absolutely marvellous.
I'll endorse that one as well. Okay. Energy assessors. No, what am I talking about? Energyperformancecertificates.org being mine, and the blog's there. And of course, you can follow Neil's blog on his site, which is nrgexperts.com/blog. I've been a bit quiet this week. I've been a bit ill with the tooth.
Quick error there, actually. It's nrgexperts.co.uk. Thanks, Mike.
My apologies. nrgexperts.co.uk. Right, then, we'll cut it short there. I thank everybody for the time. In what is basically a nerve-wracking last few moments, if you like. I wish you all luck, including Dave and Jackie, on Monday, and I'm sure everybody's thoughts will be with you. I hope maybe I can pin you all down now and get you all to agree to come back on sometime next week and discuss how the meeting went on.
Yes, no problem.
Certainly, yes, Mark. I just hope I can hear you all better on that occasion.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about the problems we've had on the line. Neil, you happy to come on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fee's so big, Mike, how could I turn you down?
He's a charmer. Just don't come riding naked past here, please. Okay, that's a wrap then. Thanks, everybody, and speak to you all soon.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye. Bye.